Well, hello again, and welcome to another broadcast. We're looking at Acts chapter 27. Have your Bible ready if you can. Last broadcast, we left off here in verse number 13. We find that they were leaving on a trip. It says the south wind blew softly, and supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. There's some real interesting verses in the Bible where it talks about people supposing things. Well, verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called the Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And then we saw in verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And so they got into an area where the storm wasn't so bad. They got a bit of relief from it close to this island, and they got the little lifeboat up onto the ship, it says in verse 17, and then they undergirded the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. Well, it says in verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Well, exceedingly tossed with the tempest. Who's in charge of the wind? We've said this over and over again. God's in charge of the wind. Let God be God. Those storms come along into your life, they come for a purpose, and God had a great purpose in the storm. Nobody wants to be in the middle of these storms, but God had a purpose for it, and he has a purpose for the storms that we go through from day to day. Well, it says that they lightened the ship, then the third day they cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. We did that. So Luke's involved in throwing this stuff overboard. They're throwing the wheat overboard before it's all done. They're in a rough storm. Well, it says in verse number 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now they're in a no-hope situation. Things are really, really rough here. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Yeah, they should have listened. Oh, so many times I've seen this over the years in ministry where I would give somebody some advice on what roads not to take. Don't go down that path. Oh, they go down it, and pretty soon they come back. And they're, well, not pretty soon. Usually takes a while. And they go down that path. Oh, I'm thinking they should have just hearkened unto me. And there's lots of people who sit week after week and listen to their pastor. There's lots of young people who listen to their parents, but they don't really listen. They hear it and they say, don't tell me what to do. And they go out there and they get into these storms. And here we have it. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and this loss. Oh, yeah, but we saw the more part advised. He talked to the owner of the ship. He talked to the captain of the ship. And then we read there in verse number 12, the haven was not commodious to winter in. The more part advised to depart thence also. Yeah, who's going to listen to this preacher? What does he know about anything? Well, he knew something about something. It's the same thing with Noah. He was in the minority also until after the flood. In any event, we see here that Paul said, you should have listened to me, and we wouldn't have lost all this harm. Well, now verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Be of good cheer. They've been in this storm. They have no hope. Well, Paul has hope. Paul has hope. He knows who he's living for. So he says in verse number 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. They're stood by you. Yeah, someone got on the boat. Well, what do you mean? Nobody even knows where they are. Yeah, God knows where they are. And he said that I got a message saying, verse 24, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, did you get that? He said, God has given all of them that sail with thee. They thought that this prisoner was sailing with them. No, this is, they are all sailing with Paul. That's how God sees it. So he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's not go past that verse too fast. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. No, be of good cheer. Smarten up. Cheer up. Why? I believe God. Who do you believe? Who do you believe? I believe God. I just think that's a smart thing to do. Well, Paul did too. He said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You take the word of God and you look at it, you're going to believe what God tells you, or you're not. And the Bible says the fool says no to God. The fool says no to God. So I didn't say that. God said that. You're either going to listen to God or you're not. You should have hearkened unto me. I believe God, he said. And they didn't, so now they're in trouble. Well, he says, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded and found it was 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it was 15 fathoms. Oh, we're getting close to some kind of shore here. Then fearing, it says, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I think that's comical. I just wish it would be daytime. Well, verse 29 says they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Now, they cast anchors out of the stern, out of the back, and these shipmen said, now, we're going to go cast out some anchors at the front. They weren't doing that at all. They were going to steal a little boat and get away. Well, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now what's going to happen? Paul said, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. You going to listen to me now? Yeah, they did. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that ye have tarried and have continued fasting, having taken nothing. He said, you better get something to eat here. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Wow. Who's in charge now? Paul's in charge now. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Look at verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. They were all of good cheer. Well, we had quite a sermon being preached here by the Apostle Paul, who knew how to handle things during the storm. And so it says, and we were all in the ship, 260 souls. That is 276 people. It's not some little boat. Well, it says here, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves to the sea. There you go. Just take up the anchors and commit yourself to whatever God wants. They loosed the rudder bands, hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward the shore. And falling upon a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast, and the remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So don't forget, back here, they're still in the middle of this storm when Paul the Apostle said, well, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You can only do that if the Lord is in charge. Well, it says here that the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape, because they were not allowed to let them escape. Now, this centurion, he's in charge of 100 soldiers. I don't know if all 100 are on this ship or not. Some of them sure are. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land, just exactly like Paul said they would do. Now we read in the next verse of chapter 28, and when they escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Well, the word barbarous there is used by the Greeks of any foreigner that was ignorant of the Greek language. And so that's all it's referring to here. It doesn't mean they were a bunch of savages. And they says they showed us no little kindness. That means they showed us a lot of kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, now isn't that interesting? Here's this Paul, you know, he could have just sat there and sent somebody else to gather the sticks. Get those soldiers out there, gather some sticks. Now, that's not what he did. He was out there just gathering sticks. He wasn't above that. And they laid them on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance sufficeth not to live. Well, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. People are so fickle, aren't they? Just one way or the other. I mean, Paul had that problem. You remember when they came into that certain town and they called them gods and they were worshiping them as gods. And he said, don't do that. We're not gods. Oh, the next thing you know, they're stoning them. Well, people are fickle. Don't forget that. In the same quarters, there was possessions of a chief man of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. 276 people. He must have had some kind of palace. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. And when this was done, others also which were diseased in the island came and were healed. This is, don't forget, he's a prisoner. He's being sent here to be executed, actually. Here he is helping people, picking up sticks, healing people. He said, who also honored us with many honors, I guess they did, and when he departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. Well, then down in verse 13, we read, the south wind blew, and once again, they sailed. Now, that's what life is all about. We're in a journey. We're sailing through life. And what we need to do is to understand that as we sail through life, there's going to be some storms. Now, understanding is the ability to judge a situation. And when the storms come along, there's a change in atmosphere. Things change. And God can calm a storm, or the Lord can cause a storm. We saw back in Mark chapter 4 that he caused the storm. The disciples were on the ship. The Lord was sleeping on a pillow, and they had their faith tested there. What was their reaction during that storm? Their reaction was, carest thou not? What is your reaction during the storm? When the storm comes along, that determines really where we are spiritually. Now we get down into Acts 27. Once again, the Lord caused the storm. And in Mark 4, he calmed the storm for them, but he didn't calm it here. It continued. And the reaction that we have here in Acts 27 and 25, Paul said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And pretty soon we read further down, they were all of good cheer. So we have it in verse 1, and we'll start here in our next broadcast. It was determined that we should sail. Yes, we are going to sail. Let's understand the storms as they come along.